this morning, and we're going to get into God's Word here, and it's always such a blessing to be in God's Word. It is so vast, and it's such a treasure, and just think about all the people who literally gave their lives so that we could have God's Word in our hands here today, and what a blessing that is. We need to always be thankful that God was so willing to hand it down to us, and He wants us to be able to be blessed and benefit from it. And so let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to stand for the reading of God's Word. Dear Father, we just pray that You would bless us as we take in Your Word this morning. Help us to better understand these huge concepts that we find in the book of Ephesians. We thank You, Lord, most of all, for this amazing gift of salvation. And it's so much bigger than what we could ever imagine, yet even a small child can receive You and be truly saved. And so, Lord, we can see that there is such a need in our world for the gift of salvation in people's lives. It's why we see the world going in such a strange direction and just in all these diverse ways and being so confused over everything. And some people want to identify the problem from a secular direction, completely non religious direction of thinking that these problems can be cured with money, these problems can be cured with all these different means. But what we know is the real problem is a sin problem, and the only solution to a sin problem is Jesus Christ. And so I do pray, Lord, that You would help us to learn better how to apply Your Word to the issues of this world. So please help us, Lord, as we look at Your Word this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. So let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. In Him we have redemption through His blood. This is speaking of Jesus, obviously. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Let's pray again. Dear Father, we just want to praise You for Your good plan. Lord Jesus, we want to praise You for carrying it out. Oh Lord, right down to the absolute letter of the law, You performed it perfectly. And Lord, You're the only perfect one who could die in our place. So we want to praise You that You were willing. And Lord, I pray that we would freely receive the gift of the Holy Spirit today into our lives. Those who have already believed unto salvation have the Holy Spirit living in them. And Lord, if there's any here who haven't believed yet, but they're feeling called, I pray that they would surrender their life to You today and receive that gift of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, have a seat, and we're going to kind of take this apart and break it down a little bit. Some big concepts. But the first one we want to start off with is the verse 7 there. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? It's just that simple. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We sing a song about that, and it needs to be the joy of our heart from day to day. And if you're redeemed, that means you've been bought back from slavery to sin. He has bought you, He has purchased you, and you are free in Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, the fact that He's bought us, it also means something else. It means He owns us. Amen? We belong to Him. we start thinking that somehow or another we're like a free agent, and we really need to be careful whenever we think about that in that way. And you know why he did it? It's because of his grace. And it's all encompassed in that one verse there. It's an amazing thing, the amazing grace. Amen. What a great title to a song. What a great song that we should sing in our heart each and every day. Guys, it ain't because of us. It's not because we were so good that God could save us. In fact, we were so bad, it was impossible to save us by any other means except for the precious blood of Jesus, the Son of God. How amazing. You know, you break down that word redemption, and it's such a beautiful word. And it's a release affected by payment of ransom. And, you know, it has a lot more kind of extra meaning to it as well. It's a huge thought, but what I really want you to take home from it is it means that you're bought back never to be sold again. Once God has bought you and purchased you and you have received that gift, you will never be sold back into that slavery again. Now, if you turn away from God and you decide to walk back into it, I've got a warning for you. You're going to become the most miserable person that ever lived. You may think you're frolicking in that sin. You may think that you can have it for free. You may think that since you're saved, you can do whatever you want. But you're going to find out that the Holy Spirit lives in you. He's going to absolutely make you miserable there. And so I want you to know that you belong to Christ in Him as you've received Him. Go forward with Him in freedom. He's purchased you. He's paid the price, and it's been paid in full. You're free. You know, after the war, after the different wars that we've had, but especially even in World War II, there were people that were outside of the information that the war was over, even in the islands of the South Pacific, and they were kind of isolated out on those islands. And, you know, they went back many years later and found these different Japanese soldiers that were on these islands still trying to defend their position. They didn't realize they were freed from that responsibility. You know, I think that many people are in prisons right now of their own self. And the prison door's been unlocked, but they haven't gone free because they just don't know it yet. Go open that prison door and come out. You don't have to live under the prison as a prisoner to your own sin anymore, because Jesus has paid the price. Let's go and be free to serve Him. You know, His grace abounded toward us. His grace abounding toward us. I want you to think about that. That word abound. What an amazing thing. You know, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And so I want you to think about it. It's more than enough. That's what that word means, abounding. It means it's more than enough. You may think, well, you know, I mean, God's grace is great, but it just don't feel like it's enough to totally set me free. I want you to know it's more than enough. The Bible says so. There's more than enough to set you free so that you can walk in freedom. You know, your heart might be all locked up because of things that have happened to you in the past. And in fact, there might be some traumatic events in your life that have been so great. Or you may have the negative effects of some of the sinful activities you've been involved in the past. But I want you to know God's grace is more than enough to set you free from it. We just need to walk into that freedom. Did you notice how it's saying it's abounding toward us? I think that there's a responsibility in that we have to receive it. I think that we have to freely go through the action of receiving it. You know, when God's word says, forgive so you can be forgiven, whenever Jesus spoke those words, I think that's one of those actions. The grace is abounding toward us. But you know what? It's a conditional thing in that activity for me to be totally set free from all of this that ties me down and holds me down. I got to be willing to receive it. I got to be willing to act upon it. You know, I've forgiven some things that have happened to me in the past and just been willing to just say, I'm not going to hold on to that. And you know what happened to me after that? I was set free. We've got to be willing. That grace is abounding toward us. Now, I want you to know you can receive it. It's yours for the taking. reach out, grab it. It's yours, and it's more than enough. I love that. It's more than enough. You know, it was his good pleasure to accomplish this, guys. It wasn't like God was sitting up there tapping his toe, and he was saying, you know, there's just no other way, and I hate to have to do this, but I guess I'll do this. No, it wasn't like that at all. It was his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself to set us free, to pay for our sins. You know, and it's like this big mystery that people wondered about for thousands of years before it happened. How's this really going to play out? He has revealed it to his children. How amazing is that? There's a place in the Psalms where it talks about that he confides in those who fear him. He confides. You know what confiding is? It's like telling your secret to. Telling your mystery to. There's this mystery that God only shares with those who are willing to follow him. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I remember reading the Bible before I was saved, trying to. And it was like all Greek to me. People talk about it being translated into English. Yeah, it's translated into English. But whenever I read it, it looked like Greek. Until after the Holy Spirit moved in and I began to read it. Man, I'm going to say, that was the most beautiful experience. I could read God's word, and it was personally for me, and God started opening up to me so that I could understand it, because I had the right stuff inside then. I had the Holy Spirit inside. And so what we need is we need to allow God to give us that grace in full measure, because it's more than enough. We need to let him do it according to his good pleasure, and we need to give him the glory for it. Amen? It's all for his glory. It was his good pleasure to accomplish your salvation, to say it is finished on the cross, and then to reveal it to you so you could receive it. And then so that you could also have a heavenly inheritance. Amen? You see the progression of it? As we receive that grace that's abounding toward us, and we see that it was his good pleasure to accomplish this and to give it to us, even though it's still a mystery to all those on the outside, it's no longer a mystery to those on the inside. And then we start to realize in him also we've obtained. You see that the way the tense of that verb there? It's past tense, right? It's as good as done. You have it. If you're in Christ, you've already got your inheritance. And you know what? It's waiting for you in heaven, the full realization of it. But it's as good as done. It's obtained. Jesus has done everything that needs to be done for that inheritance, and he's going to share it with you. He's going to share it with his children. How beautiful is that? Being predestined. There's that word again. This was his perfect plan from all before, guys. This didn't just happen one day. He didn't send Jesus and say, well, I'm going to try to straighten out the world, and man, this just don't seem to be working out very good. So I guess we're going to have to try this, and we'll have to try that. And then maybe it didn't work out so good. He ended up on a cross. It wasn't like that. Read the Old Testament. You're going to see this was his plan. This was his predestined plan. He foreordained it. And I believe he's foreordained for us to receive it. And here's what he wants us to do about it. He wants us to give him the glory and look forward to the full inheritance. Now, how do I really know that? Because the word says so. Because I've seen little glimpses of that promise being lived out in my life today, even beforehand. Because I've received the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But here's the one thing that I want you to understand as well in this next verse 12. You see, when we trust in Christ, it brings glory to God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We think it's all about us. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago. We were like, you know, sometimes we're so self-centered, we think it's all about us, but I want you to know something. It's really all about him. Did you know that whenever you're saved, if you've come to the Lord, there was a celebration in heaven. You know who they were glorifying? God. They were glorifying God in heaven with your salvation because it was his work. He did it. And whenever he did it and you receive it, it brings him more glory. You know that whenever you go to heaven to receive your full inheritance, you're going to be glorifying him around the throne. you're going to be part of the multitude that can't even be counted, that we have little glimpses of in the book of Revelation. But you know what? It's all to the praise of his glory. Give him glory for what he's done. He is awesome, and he has such a good plan. You know, and from the first to the last of the people who believe, every born-again Christian receives the Holy Spirit. Guys, this isn't just a maybe, a kind of, somewhat. You get the full measure whenever you come into faith with Christ. And here's the thing. Sometimes I'm afraid that we live in such a way that we don't really allow him to be expressed fully through us. Or maybe we don't recognize the full presence of who he is. But the more that we allow God to work in us, the more we're going to recognize his presence as well. But I want you to rest assured, as he says here in verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. So that Paul was the first of those, and his group was the first of those. And as Paul sent out missionaries and they made more believers, you know, or came and brought the message and more people came to be believers, then this gospel of their salvation, in whom also having believed, you also are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, Jesus gave a promise before he went back to heaven, and he promised that it was good for the believers that he go, because Holy Spirit would then come. And you see, Jesus could, you know, he was only in one place at a time, and if people wanted to learn from him, they had to go find him and talk to him and listen to him. But you see, whenever he went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit was given out in full measure to everyone who came to believe in him, and still is today. And the fact that the Holy Spirit has been given to you is a guarantee of the full inheritance when we are fully delivered. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Guys, you know how I know I'm saved? You know, a lot of people say, well, you can't really know. You know, how can you really know? Well, first of all, the Bible says I can know. In 1 John, it talks about how I can know. And so you must be able to know. And you know what I've come to know? Is that the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I know. You know, he didn't come to live in me. And it's, he's not just an it. It's not just this, you know, force or something like that that you can kind of tap into. It's not like that. He is a him. He's the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. And God sends a piece of himself to live in every believer. And I'm just going to say, he don't move in secretly. When he moves in, he lets you know it. And one of the ways he let me know it was a greater conviction over sin. I thought I repented of all the sin the night I got saved. And the next day I realized, oh, there's more. And, you know, it's been a continual process of him showing me, hey, no, I don't like that. Or, hey, this is what the word says, and he explains it to me. Or, hey, I'm pleased with that. Let's move forward together. Hey, you have this power to be able to express love that you didn't know you had. You know why I didn't know I had it? Because I really didn't have it until after the Holy Spirit moved in. I'm still, you know, if you took the Holy Spirit away, I'd still be the same person I was before. But because the Holy Spirit's here, I'm born again. That's why I'm new. That's why I'm different. That's why I became a new creation in Christ, because the Holy Spirit living in me. And you know what? He's the guarantee of our inheritance. The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Again, it's all to the glory of God. I don't have the Holy Spirit in me to glorify me. That's not what he's about. He's about glorifying the Father and the Son, about God being glorified. That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's how he works. And if we look there, the guarantee is like, that's like the down payment, ain't it? Whenever you give a guarantee, how many of you guys have ever bought something big that you couldn't pay for the whole thing all at one time? And so like you said, all right, I'm going to give you a down payment, and that's going to prove that I'm coming back. That's going to prove that I'll be back on Thursday with the rest of it to purchase the whole deal, you know? Or maybe you had to get a loan for your house or something like that. Well, you gave earnest money or a guarantee. I used to do work for people and big jobs, and sometimes it might take me a few months. And they would give me a guarantee. They would give me a down payment to get started on. And then at some portion during the job, they would give me more until eventually I was done and they gave me the full payment. Well, you know what? The full payment ain't going to come until you enter into heaven. But until then, you can be absolutely guaranteed that the whole inheritance is coming, folks, because he gives you the Holy Spirit to reassure you day after day, moment after moment, he's real and you're his. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you need to ask him for it. You need to ask him to save your soul so that the Holy Spirit will move in, so that you can have that full gift, that full guarantee of the full inheritance. And I love the way it's worded here. We studied that word redeemed or redemption at the beginning. Here it's used again. You look at how it's being used. So who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession? So redeem means to buy back, and it also means to be delivered. You see, he's bought us, but we haven't been fully delivered yet. But we will. And you know how I know we will? Because you have the Holy Spirit if you're his. And you know, we can look forward to it. God don't break promises. God never lets us down, just like we were talking about. Sometimes people will let you down. In fact, always at some time, a given person is going to let you down somewhere, sometime. But I'm going to give you a guarantee, because this guarantee is based on God. He will not ever break a promise or let you down. And the way you can know that you have that guarantee is, does the Holy Spirit live in you? And so if you're sitting here and you go, man, I don't know what that means, I'm not sure, or I don't really ever sense a time that the Holy Spirit came to live in me. And you know what? There's a remedy for that. Just give your life to Christ. Ask him. He promises. He's not going to turn you away. Ask him based on Jesus. Not on my goodness, not on your goodness, because we don't really have it. We're all sinners. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Guys, we're on a level playing field with each other. But Christ is lifted up. Look to Jesus. He will save you. He will allow you to receive the Holy Spirit. He did in the book of Acts at the day of Pentecost. He did again with the believers who had believed in first the baptism of John. But boy, whenever they received Christ, the apostles laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. Some would say, well, it's because the apostles laid hands on them. No, it's because they received Christ. And so I want you to make sure that you know that that inheritance in heaven is for you. Let me pray for you. Dear God, I pray that every man, woman, and child will leave this place knowing for sure that the heavenly inheritance that you have, Jesus, is also going to be for them. I think it's so amazing. We come to you just as the prodigal son did, saying, I'll go and I'll even just be his servant if he'll let me. And you elevate us to the place of being a son and a daughter of God. That's the way you work. That's how your amazing grace works. And Lord, the inheritance is going to be full and it's going to be rich, and there's not going to be anything in heaven that you don't want to give your children. But first, we have to give ourselves to you. You're not sharing this mystery with the rest of the world. You're not sharing it in the same way as you do when a person surrenders in faith. It takes a measure of faith before we can receive the whole deal. This gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. And it's for everyone who will believe. So, Lord, help our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.